Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics. Joining me today from Wausau, Wisconsin is Terry Lawrence. Terry is the CEO of Bone & Joint, which is an orthopedic practice group. Terry, thanks so much for joining us.
Adam, thank you.
So I was really intrigued to learn about you and an interesting practice you have at your work that isn't a typical one, which is you actually encourage managers to report mistakes that they make. How did you start that practice?
Adam, it's a great question. I've been in leadership 25 years. I started about 10 years ago in my leadership role, really doing something crazy and unique. The more I started integrating in our department meetings, in our senior leadership meetings, and our Institute for Improvement, I went off of the notion that if we're going to create an optimized culture, we all have to embrace the mistakes that we make, we have to learn from them, and we have to grow and become better leaders.
And those are really great points. I mean, part of the problem, I think, often in business is people just don't like to admit that they were wrong about anything. I think it's a very human trait, and there's always been the fear of, if you admit you did something wrong, there's going to be negative repercussions. People are hesitant to realize that they can actually learn from them. So, you know, you enunciated, I think, the key benefits you expected to get from this. But I can imagine there was some initial hesitation to report things, you know, bigger than saying, well, gee, I thought the meeting was at 11, not 12. Did you find that there was a lot of hesitation? And if so, how'd you overcome it?
When I first brought this practice to our leadership meetings, I wish every leader could have been a fly on the wall. The facial expressions said it all. The first time I kicked it off, every leader around the table looked at each other and at first said I was kidding. And the more discussion I had regarding we're going to change how we function as a leadership team. We're going to look at our leadership team as a family, and we're going to look at our leadership team supporting each other. And the responses went from sheer panic, oh my, should I share with Terry what in the group what I'm doing wrong, to I think I had one senior leader remove herself from the meeting, fake an illness, and go home. And the real cool experience, once I started the series of really embedding this practice into each of our weekly huddles, our operational huddles, our monthly huddles, it really took traction. And, you know, it's rewarding as a leader when you can see a leader struggle with such a crazy concept. And after months of being front and center and supporting and treating each other confidentially and with respect when one makes a mistake, I could just see him blossom as a leader. So it went from sheer panic to, wow, you know, I'm actually kind of comfortable in the driver's seat.
Oh, that's great. Now, was there a tipping point where there was suddenly somebody admitted something really big and everybody saw that there was positives in learning from it and there wasn't a rush to judge, or was it sort of one of those incremental things that people just got more and more comfortable doing it? In the end, it just became sort of normal.
Adam, I think it's a combination. As we know, every leader is unique. Every leader is hardwired a certain way. And especially when I came into Bone & Joint over 2.5 years ago, you know, they went through some trials and tribulations and challenges around leadership. And so when I was blessed to take over and partner with the leaders of this organization, I just took them by storm. Within the first 2-3 weeks of being here, I started embedding this practice into our meetings. And the reason for doing that is I could see our leaders holding back. I could see our leaders having degrees of angst and just walking kind of on eggshells with the previous culture. And so when I teed it up, the first message that I shared with them is you are in a safe zone, you know. So part of that kicking this practice off was to ensure that what was said in the meeting stayed in the meeting, and we held each other accountable to that. And the sole purpose of sharing our mistakes or our mishaps or our opportunities wasn't for punitive purposes, but was for improvement.
Well, you know, it's really intriguing, and frankly, it makes me think a lot about something I saw in the FBI video that they show people right before they're sworn in, where they talk about having a culture of accountability. They underscore it's not about looking to punish, but to look at how things went wrong and how you can possibly fix them. What's been the impact throughout the culture from this practice?
The impact has been significant, and I would say not only on a personal level, because I care about each of these leaders personally and professionally. You know, we look at our culture, we really, it's the bone and joint family. And so if I look at over the course of, if I would timestamp a time frame of 2.5 years, we really have gone from a culture of mistrust, a culture of, can I say it, can I not, a culture of, oh, I hope I'm going to potentially stay employed if I continue to make these type of mistakes. Fast forwarding it today to a culture of, we've embraced a culture of trust, respect, high performance. You know, one of the best feelings as the CEO is to see your leaders grow, feel confident, and then take those feelings and cascade them to their departments. And so when you look at this cultural transformation, we not only have this at the leadership level, I've brought this level to the board of physicians, all the way through our clinical huddles to our business office. And so, you know, it's nice when you walk down the hall, when they see the CEO coming, they're not worried about, okay, well, if I make a mistake, am I going to be here? We actually embrace it. I call it out, and I commend our staff for when they do make a mistake and they learn by it, that we share it across the organization.
And I imagine that's been really great for the compliance and ethics program. You know, there's a lot of problems that organizations have where people do something wrong or see something, they're hesitant to raise it. I imagine this has had a huge impact in changing those kinds of attitudes.
Our attitudes went from, if I was a school teacher or professor, I would say we went from a class grade, meaning our culture of feeling comfortable, right, stepping up and sharing things. I would say we went from a D to a B plus A minus. And, you know, it's really special when we have our corporate compliance meetings and our huddles. We actually have compliance ambassadors embedded across all of our locations in our business service lines, that when we come together, you know, it's great to just to be able to sit back and listen to how everyone's feeling about how we're doing. And we have our staff stepping up and sharing when we have compliance concerns. And again, from the seat of the CEO and the chief compliance officer being myself, I commend anyone who brings forth any type of compliance issues or concerns, because it only makes us better as an organization, and we should all celebrate together.
Yeah, indeed. And I think what's ironic is it's a celebration of humility in a lot of ways.
Exactly.
Hard thing to celebrate. And you mentioned the fact you have how many locations?
We have 4 locations.
Yeah, and well, it's a good point that this is something that, you know, it can extend throughout an organization. Well, you know, I think some of the people listening, you know, in fact, many are probably going to get inspired by this idea of admitting mistakes and using them in a positive way. Any advice you would give to anyone else now that you've gone down this road and, you know, experienced the learning curve about how they can adopt this practice?
Now, Adam, we'd have to schedule another 2-hour podcast to go into detail. I thought I'd throw a little humor on that. No, you know, the one real important piece of advice or recommendation or suggestion, depending on how you want to categorize the feedback, is if you're going to embed this practice into your leadership huddles, you know, your board meetings, your clinical huddles, you really have to ensure that if you are the one that's embedding it, one, you have to lead by example. So each one of our meetings, I start as a CEO, so I'm the first one who steps up to the plate and I share one mishap that I've had and openly we talk about it. So one, you have to lead by example. Number two, you have to be very transparent. You have to be very supportive. And the last piece of advice would be to ensure that your teams respect confidentiality and support, and you tie no downstream punitive action to it. This practice serves to solidify your team and embed a stronger leadership impact to your organization.
Well, it's very provocative and I think a very heartening approach, given how often things just don't get reported. People are hesitant to admit their own weaknesses and mistakes. And by encouraging greater dialogue, I think you've done probably an immeasurable service in terms of trying to avoid problems in the workplace. Well, Terry, thank you for embarking on this experiment, and now not just experiment, but a real day-to-day practice. And thanks for sharing this information with us. I want to thank all of you who took the time to listen in today. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE, hoping we've managed to expand your compliance perspectives.